Okay, we are in Councils for the Church, page 308, paragraph 1, brand new chapter, chapter 55. And it's, I want to welcome everybody on WTPR. We got five families in there. So welcome to everybody there. And, so it's the medical work is what it's titled. And as we know, the medical missionary, or the health message, if you will, for those of us that study scripture and have, even if you just, scratch the surface on the spirit of prophecy, you know that the health message is the right arm of the gospel. Because, this is, he's in us. We are his temple. And that's why we have all quit smoking and drinking and, eating meat and stuff. And, you could still eat meat if you want. We're not going to slam you and say you're going to hell in a handbasket for eating meat, of course. But it has to be kosher, if you will, just an easy way of saying it. In other words, it can't be having any blood in it. Because the Bible's pretty specific about that, and a lot of people go, well, that's kind of Old Testament. Does it matter? Seriously, has God redesigned and recreated humans from the Old to the New Testament? No. If the blood was dangerous to the human body back then, it's going to be dangerous to the human body now. And especially, stuff like pork, shellfish, the bottom feeders. I've always asked people, well, what a fly does, right? It eats waste. And says, yeah, I get that. Well, would you eat a fly? Well, no way. I said, well, then why eat a pig? Pig's just a giant fly. That's all that thing is. It eats waste. And you can't cook them enough to get the worms out of their flesh, because the worms are in there because even the pig itself can't assimilate the toxins it's picking up. And so those little worms that are in its hide, as the toxins go through their skin, and that's why they got such big fat backs. It works. It's kind of like with well water. You got all that dirt you got to go through before it gets nice and cleaned. Well, it's the same thing with the pig. It all the stuff has to go up, and it rises up through the body, and before it can assimilate. But even the pig can't handle it all, and so those little worms all running through his flesh will do it for him. And you can't cook those worms out. Says, oh yeah, I cook it strong. I get it really hot. I fry the edges. Well, you can put a pork chop in an oven at 500 degrees for 3 hours, and you're going to pull out a briquette, a charcoal briquette, right? Well, yeah, it's going to get charred all the way through. Yeah, do that. Put a nice piece of typing paper on your kitchen table. Crack it open, and I always say to do this part because people say, oh, just pour Coca-Cola on the pork chop. And you'll see the worms come out. Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. They did that all over YouTube. But then they'll go, well, then I'm going to cook it extra strong to kill the worms. No, you can't kill the worms, and I can prove it. Put it in the oven for that length of time, like I said, 3 hours at 500. Take it out, wait for it to cool down, crack it open on your kitchen table with the white piece of typing paper, because you're going to have to look for something that looks like mouse droppings. Little tiny little footballs, little tiny black footballs. Get an X-Acto knife, or even a needle for that meal, two needles. Stick it and rip it open. There's a live worm in there. They build a little cocoon around their bodies real quick out of the surrounding flesh to insulate them from that oven. Now, eat the pork chop, even if you cooked it till you seared the edges, right? That worm, if you don't chew them up in your mouth, which odds are you're not going to get them because there's a bunch of them in each pork chop, he ends up in your belly. They go, oh, yeah, I got all that acid. Yeah, well, that don't matter. If the heat of an oven ain't going to bother him, what do you think the acid in your gut's going to do? And so they work their way through your gut. And the only reason I know all this is because of a chiropractor I ran into many, many years ago who, after I went to go talk to an AMA doctor, and he says, oh, you've got, atrophication of your muscles in your right arm. You got like a 75-year-old man muscle. I says, dude, I'm in my 20s, my late 20s, or I think early 30s. I was lifting weights, right? 125 pounds at, four sets of 10, because I wanted to show off muscles, And so I go in there, and they're telling me all this silly stuff, and I said, well, it doesn't make any sense, because, my left arm, I can lift stuff up, and my right arm is just all of a sudden one morning I get up, and I couldn't raise my right arm to comb my hair. And for me, that was traumatic. I had a problem with my hair. And so I ended up going to a chiropractor because somebody referred him to me. The guy was good. And he told me that it was trichinosis. I says, what does that mean? He says, it's a worm. You got worms in your, because he says, look at the ganglions on my wrist. And I says, oh, I was always wondering what those lumps were at my wrist. And he told me the whole story how they used to get rid of the ganglions back in the old days. They would take the biggest book they have in the house, which was a Bible, and they would lay your hand on the kitchen table, palm up, and then somebody would take the Bible and just smack you really hard in the wrist with that Bible. It's not going to hurt. You know, it's just not going to hurt because it's a big book and your hand's like handled by the table. They don't have to smack you crazy hard, and it'll splatter the ganglions, because all the ganglions is just the pork fat that just kind of like collects in certain areas, and it happens to like the wrist for some reason. But he says, what you got going on in your elbow is those little worms. And he goes, this guy was a Christian. He was SDA, as a matter of fact, found out later. But he said that you should praise God that they ended up in your elbow and not in your eyeball or in your brain. Because these little worms work their way everywhere. Now, there's some videos, and if you've got a weak stomach, there's some videos of people they're showing with all these worms, hundreds of, like the one girl that went blind in one eye, and she couldn't figure out why, and took her to the doctor. With her left eyeball, I think it was filled with worms from eating pork, and they were all alive. And then you got the people, they're crawling underneath the skin. You can see them moving around and stuff like that. But I had them in the elbow, which is cool. But the only bad thing is it was eaten at the muscle, the sinews that were connecting bone, right, the muscles to the bone. And he says the reason that the worms do that is because when they go through your gut and they work their way through your intestinal wall and they go throughout your body, they're looking for a place in your body that simulates the hog hide, something like this. And he says the easiest place for them is the joints. Yeah, and so you're going to get this ripping pain in whatever joint they're in, because that's where they're chomping down or having a big old field day in there. And so I definitely quit eating pork. And he's the one that told me about the newspaper, the typing paper, and the football, little tiny mouse droppings it looks like, but it's an actual cocoon of that little worm. So let's read now. because I bring that up because of some people tell me I remember when I was a teenager, they had the big billboards up there saying that pork is America's new white meat. It was cheap. And so we ate it all the time. And I could sit, I literally would watch TV and I would have the pork chops, I'd have the bacon, and I have a bag of pork rinds. In one sitting, I'll eat a whole bag of pork rinds. And pork rinds is just, you put some really thin slices of hog hide into a vat of oil that's at 360 degrees, and it's going to go, it just puffs up, turns into a pork rind, right? Or cracklings. Oh, I used to love the cracklings because they're so twisted up, they won't pop, and they're really hard. It's kind of like eating on a jawbreaker, and you chew on them for a while. And I didn't know there were worms still in there, too. And so I was just porking out everywhere, I was just eating all sorts of pork. And to this day, I haven't... That's why I'm looking to get some kind of a wrap for my right arm, because I got to start lifting weights. You get to a point where, the walking and all that does what it does, but, when you get to my age, I want to tone up in other areas, because I tried lifting weights a couple of years ago, and that pain came back, because I have damaged those worms, did their damage. They're all dead now. They ain't in there now, because I haven't had pork in decades. But, I quit eating meat before I even knew about the Sabbath, and I praise his name for that. And that does help, too, to, give you an understanding in your mind a little bit clearer when you're reading Scripture. You're not so fogged up because, how the bad meat and the blood fevers the brain. It makes it hard to – you get confused easy. You can't concentrate. You might read something 10 times in a row and still can't get it. But anyway, going on, let's read. It says on page 308, paragraph 1, again, where in Christ's counsels. For the church, yeah. Medical work. And it says medical missionary work is the pioneer work of the gospel. The door through which the truth for this time is to find entrance to many homes. And I love the way she puts that because, and I've been saying this for years, and I've seen this happen quite a few times in our church family. And I've been praying about stuff like this for decades because, the best blessing from on high is the gift of prophecy, to understand prophecy and preach it correctly. Or even prophesy for that matter, because the Lord does give us utterance. And you'll see, we'll make statements, and then it could take 5 years, it could take 10 years before you see it happening in the news because, hey, it's just common sense. It comes to you where, it's a no-brainer, that's going to happen. By the state of things that are going on now, it's going to happen. And you make the statement, and then 5-10 years later, it comes through. And it's not, declaring you a prophet to any sense of the word, but in a way it is, but because there are modern-day prophets. But the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit just giving you utterance. But one of the other blessings of the Holy Spirit is the gift of healing. And for me, that's always been, I've always wanted that blessing, and we've seen it happen many times where, everything from people getting off deathbeds to crippled spines being healed right before our eyes. And it's an amazing thing to see. It doesn't happen every day, just like with anything you see in Scripture. Some people say, oh, look at all the miracles that Isaiah saw, or even Jesus for that matter. I mean, well, there were hundreds of them, I would think thousands. They didn't record them all, obviously. But even some of the apostles, and some people say, if you were to find 10 miracles from Isaiah, a lot of people seem to forget the fact that they could have gone over 40, 50 years of time before those 10 miracles went down. And so it's not something that's going to, well, until the latter rain falls more abundantly, of course, we're going to see things the apostles couldn't, because that rain's falling more abundantly than it did for them when they had the early rain. But what she says here, it truly will find entrance into many homes, because I remember when, and these people didn't know, they knew I was a street preacher. I was remodeling stuff at the time. I was working a 9-to-5. I hadn't gone full time in the ministry yet. And I was remodeling this apartment complex for this government/private agency. It was more private than government, because you really didn't see anything but Section 8 people there, and the paperwork was the only thing you saw for government. The owners were there all the time, and they were private. And so everybody there was poor, dirt poor. As a matter of fact, some of them were paying all of $20 to $50 a month to rent a $600 a month apartment. And there was one girl there, because she had no income and she was pregnant and she was on public aid, they gave her $50 a month to live there. And so this is the kind of clientele they would have. And so I did a lot of sharing, if you will. And so I guess this one family contacted me because the dad was dying. They told him he didn't have hours to live. And so me and one of my sons went over and laid hands on him, and boom, everything was great. And the next morning, sadly, of course, 6 or 7 months later, he went back to the bottle. And, because that's what, go and sin no more. You got to say that afterwards, But he went back to the bottle and he was dead with him. And then that was my first funeral I ever did. But it is true. The gospel message, or the present truth message, which is more or less just a glorification of the gospel message, will find entrance into many homes because of this type of blessing, especially if we go with a socialist format of medicine like they got in Canada, where you're going to sit there, wait 10, 15 years just to get some, just to even see a doctor, right? Because you can't walk in any small town that I know of and throw a rock without hitting somebody that's sick. And so, yeah, this is going to bless us with ways to get our foot in the door. And so pray a lot on this as well, for this gift to be administered onto the church. But it's got to be an obedient church. And for the most part, we are. But we have to be, when you listen to what this video is that Pastor Craig did yesterday, that he uploaded, and I'm going to play it in the room, it's going to cut some of you pretty deep. I know I'm waiting to hear it again. I wanted to listen to it a second time, but I want to listen to it with my brothers and sisters a second time, and my wife, of course, because she'll be in the other room. But anyway, it goes on and says here, God's people are to be genuine medical missionaries, for they are to learn to minister to the needs of both soul and body. The purest unselfishness is to be shown by our workers as, with the knowledge and experience gained by practical work, they go out to give treatments to the sick. And it's not just laying hands on people and waiting on a miracle. Look at Hezekiah with the figs, or Jesus making the spittle with the mud, putting it on the blind guy's eyes. Natural methods are very important. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here, because the Lord has been using you to heal people of diseases. And I've seen what colloidal silver has been doing for decades. Well, actually, one decade, because I just found out about it maybe 20 years ago, maybe so 2 decades. I don't know. I drink it on a regular basis just for, physical maintenance, if you will. But I make it a lot stronger now than I ever used. I used to do it at 12 parts per million, but from what Brother Warren was telling me, I kicked it up to 22, and I think I'm at 24 now, because I let it just run over, because my generator stops at 12, and then I got to put it on manual, and then put an alarm on my phone or on my computer, wherever I'm going to be at the time, and wait 8 to 10 hours, because it's slow. A whole gallon, it'll do a whole gallon, but it takes a while. And but it works. It works amazingly, you know, especially when you make like a gel out of it. And don't use the gel that they offer, because it has some kind of a, even though it's inert, supposedly, one of the brothers in the faith up in Wisconsin, his brother Lawrence, none of you know him. I don't know. He hasn't come into the church in here. Well, I think he goes on the radio, but he found that powder that they give you, even though it's inert, has a dangerous effect on human skin. And I didn't realize that, but I says, wow, that's right, yeah. When I did it on this one area of my body repeatedly, it would like to get rid of a rash, let's say. It got rid of the problem, whatever I was having, but my skin got flaky in that area. I says, wow. And so we found this other stuff that's food grade, and it literally turns into a gel. But it's kind of like a Jell-O. It's not like a cream like the other one is. The other one's easier to work with, but hey, I want to use the stuff that's safe. But yeah, we have natural methods, and it's not just colloidal silver either. And it's all sorts of different, you know, the activated charcoal is very important, and other things like that. And so there's all sorts of ways for us to get our foot in the door when it comes to these sick folks. But it goes on to say that as they go from house to house, they will find access to many hearts. Many will be reached who otherwise never would have heard the gospel message. A demonstration of the principles of health reform will do much toward removing prejudice against our evangelical work. And the great physician, the originator of medical missionary work, will bless all who thus seek to impart the truth for this time. And, you know, this is what really irks me, though. And it has to do with, I mean, Jesus having the same problem in his neck of the woods in Nazareth. Remember when he said the prophet is not without honor except in his own land? Well, you're going to find the same thing, like with your siblings, your relatives, or whatever the case may be, especially if you used to be Roman Catholic like myself, and then you step out and you got all these wonderful things happening. They could care less. They don't believe you when you say this stuff, right, with all these miracles and all these blessings happening. I've seen 3 people in my family die because they refused to do the natural methods. They trusted the AMA, even though there's so much overwhelming evidence to prove that the AMA is just, you know, you're a customer until your insurance runs out, and then they go, okay, you got 3 to 4 months to live, and that's it. And they give up on you because they can't make any more money. It's all about a profit. Seriously, think about it. If they're going to heal you, they're going to lose a customer. That's why they're coming up with ways to figure out where you can live with your cancer. And they figured it out with one cancer so far. Can't remember which one it was, but it was a little one, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just like with anything else. Like, look at diabetes. There's an absolute cure for diabetes. You can literally do the cure in about 4 to 5 to 7 days just by eating all raw, and you're no longer diabetic. But if they can give you insulin, they not only get a customer for the rest of your life, it'll knock 20 to 30 years off your life. Because that stuff kills you slowly. That's what makes me think about stuff like dialysis, you know, stuff they pump into your body while they're, you know, putting you through the dialysis, too, to make it easier for your body to handle it. It shortens your lifespan. And, you know, someone very close to me found out about that and told them to knock it off. Quit putting that dope in me, he said. But I always wondered, there's got to be a better way than the dialysis, and I haven't found it yet, because natural methods are slow. And if you need dialysis within 2 days, 2 or 3 days every week, like you got to go 3 times a week, yeah, keep going to dialysis. But the problem with that is, while you're doing the natural methods, some of it's going to get leached out when they do the dialysis, because they're not only pulling out the platelets and the water and everything else, they're pulling out what you're putting in, you know, the natural methods. But that doesn't mean they're going to get them all, you know. And so that's the only drawback. And some people ask, well, what if it's an emergency? Should you go ahead with some of the drugs they give? Well, if it's going to prevent death, yes, take the drug. I mean, even Sister White said, go ahead with, quinine back in the, I think it was called quinine. with the mosquito, the malaria thing. I think it was quinine, and because it would be better than dying, and then it prevents the death, and then after the healing, and you know, after you get out of danger, well, then leach that stuff out of your system. As a matter of fact, on my AMA Insanity page on the website, I got a section there about the dangers of vaccines. There's a link there. I think I bolded it out. You got to look for it because there's hundreds and hundreds of links now about all the craziness that the AMA does. But one of them there shows you how to use natural methods to leach vaccines out of a system. And in some cases, it has even reversed autism because, hands down, that is the reason for autism. And everything from Tourette's syndrome to just outright, autism things, autistic situations. And so there are ways to leach it out. It's a slow-going process, especially if you do it later in life. You know, the younger the person is, when you start that kind of a healing process, the quicker, the response is going to be, of course. So anyway, going on, it says, physical healing is bound up with the gospel commission. When Christ sent his disciples out on their first missionary journey, he bade them, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. Now, that last part, freely ye have received, freely give. This is why I never ask for donations, ever, never will. I ask the Lord, and if you're an obedient Christian and what we share feeds you, well, then that's where you tithe. I might mention tithing once or twice a year because, babes in Christ come in here and they don't know they're supposed to tithe. You're robbing God if you don't. And so that's why the devourer still causes problems for you in your lifetime where you can't seem to get ahead of the bills because the car keeps breaking down or the mower keeps breaking down, whatever the case may be. But, and this really irks me when I see these guys on YouTube or on, or just on the internet, for guys like Hal Lindsey, the false prophets and stuff like that. I mean, these guys live on this. They make merchandise of the people that they're speaking onto, literally, just like I think it was Peter said it. They make merchandise onto the people. In other words, you're the product that keeps Jesus is the product to keep you in the pew so that you can send them the money. But the thing here is. And I asked a guy like this, and it really upset him when I said this, but hey, truth is truth. I says, because he had this blurb, or he had this video, you've got to see this video. I mean, it's that big guy out in Texas does this too. What was his name? Oh, man. He has all this bogus prophecies, 7-year triv, secret rapture malarkey. It's all Jesuit influence. And I want to say Jack Van Impey, but that's not the guy. He's just as bad, but... he's big, he's huge, and he's Baptist, obviously, and Hagee, I think his name is, and he says, you got to get this book. What is shared in this book will help you, will prevent you from going to hell, and this, that. I mean, you see guys on YouTube doing that, too. And so this is something that you must have. It's absolute. God told me to put this pen to paper, and this is what he would. Could you imagine Jeremiah saying that? And then Ezekiel getting wind of that when he's over there on the other side because you're selling what the Lord told you to proclaim. Freely you have been given, freely give it. I mean, freely announce it. But these guys, I says, it's obviously not from God because if it was from God, you wouldn't be charging people for it. Or could you imagine Jonah with Nineveh? He gets... the fish kicks him out onto the shore and he goes in and says, for $29.95, I'm going to tell you what the Lord revealed to me while I was in that fish for 3.5 days. It's just ridiculous how these people do this nowadays. This is, you got to have this or you're going to hell, and the only way you're going to get this is to send me, a donation of this or a donation of that. So that's just crazy. That's not Christianity. That's making merchandise of the people. So freely you have received, freely give, And again, here's the same thing. You're healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And look at the Vatican does with the casting out, well, supposedly casting out the devils. I did a thing on the radio once about this, and I mentioned this in a video or two as well, and I did a newsletter years ago about this where this one girl, she was 19 years old, this happens thousands of times in the Vatican, in the Catholic Church. This girl, she happened to be... at a mass where the Pope is speaking from that serpentine-looking trophy. It looks like a trophy. You ever see like the trophies for bowling, and you got those squiggly things holding up the top of the trophy, and the guy standing there, and in the middle it has some kind of award-looking official thing. Those serpentine pillars are filled with the bones of the Christians they murdered and tortured, right? And that's why they're serpentine. They're shaped like, it's just like with the audience hall. It's shaped like the head of a serpent on the outside and like the mouth with the fangs and the tongue and the eyes and all on the inside. So when the Pope speaks, he speaks from the tongue of Satan through his fangs. See, he's literally Satan's prophet, right? Although he is the man of sin, he's not the false prophet. That is the so-called Protestantism of today, including the SDA Church, which has fallen into the arms of Rome. I know there's conservative ones out there, but eventually they're going to hear Revelation 18, and they're going to come out because they are his people. But the thing is, this girl, she's 19. She's all of 100 pounds soaking wet, right? And she all of a sudden starts speaking in these cavernous tones in these different languages, and she's convulsing somewhat. And so the head exorcist walks over to her like he's all that, and he tries to cast a demon out, and the demon throws him around and starts laughing. So the Pope, this is John Paul II, you know, Saint John Paul II, he steps off his trophy, you know, his throne, and he goes down there to cast the demon out, and it just laughs at him. And this is the head Christian that's supposedly in the world, and the demon just laughed. But my point is, the movie The Exorcist, that was a true story, but it was a little boy in India or South Africa or something like that. It wasn't no big old rich family. But the way they did it was similar to the way they do it all the time. When Jesus cast a demon out, how much did he charge them? And how many times did he stop by to pick up payments while he was casting the demon out? It didn't happen, did it? He healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he raised the dead, and he cast out the devils for not dime one, nothing. And he did it instantly. But these priests, they go out there. Oh, yeah, this is going to take a couple, 3 years. It's going to be about $150 to $200 every time we stop by, but we're going to have to, you know, splash some holy water, you know, have some sandalwood burning in the background and chant a bunch of Latin terms, and eventually your daughter will stop floating above the bed, right? And no, they're just entertaining the demon or exercising it, making it stronger. And so it's just all falderal. Because we have seen, my wife and I, one of the first things we saw was a demon cast out of a 12-year-old kid. Instant. Gone. It's not going to sit there and take, you know, okay, we'll be back in a week or two, you know. No. It's just insane. And we didn't charge. You know, freely you receive, freely you give, right? So going on, it says the Divine Commission needs no reform. Christ's way of presenting truth cannot be improved upon. The Savior gave the disciples practical lessons, teaching them how to work in such a way as to make souls glad in the truth. He sympathized with the weary, the heavy laden, the oppressed. He fed the hungry and healed the sick. Constantly, he went about doing good. By the good he accomplished, by his loving words and kindly deeds, he interpreted the gospel to men. Christ's work in behalf of man is not finished. It continues today. In like manner, his ambassadors are to preach the gospel and to reveal his pitying love for lost and perishing souls. And this is why we got to be very careful in this respect, too. And the enemy of souls is going to tempt you here, because he tempts me here. He tempts all of us here, especially if you're making videos or have a website. Because I've seen this from day one when I put the stuff online. As a matter of fact, the website wasn't up 3 months, and I was offered $6 million to shut it down, which was actually a death threat. Right, and I put the contract online, but of course I've seen people that wanted to kill me before, and they're dead now. And so I'm not going to worry about stuff like that. If I'm supposed to take a nap before Jesus gets here, that's fine. But if not, it'd be really silly for you to threaten my life. I mean, because it doesn't go well for those kind of people. The hedge of angels is real. I mean, ask the young understudy of Elijah when he says, you know, there's a lot of those guys up here. Well, then the Lord allowed him to see that hedge. They're there. They're going to protect us and let us do this work. But there's a lot of people out there that they want to try and stop it. And so we got to reveal the pitying love for the lost and the perishing souls. Because no one else is going to do it. I mean, they're going to go out there and going to make merchandise of them. And, okay, we're not that big of a church, but then again, that's why it's called the Remnant. And he only had 12 apostles to start out anyway. And so you never know who it is you're blessing, if you will, like with a healing or even with truth. He might be the next Martin Luther that goes forth like he did in the sixth hour. So again, Christ's work in behalf of man is not finished. It continues to this day. In like manner, ambassadors are to preach the gospel and to reveal his pitying love for the lost and perishing souls. And I kind of lost my train of thought, but let's go on here. It says, by the unselfish interest in those who need help, they are to give a practical demonstration of the truth of the gospel. You know, unlike the TV preachers where they says, do as I say, not as I do. Benny Hinn's infamous for that because he'll tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. But they get him on film handing a pipe, a crack pipe. Well, I don't think it was a crack pipe. I think it was one of those, it was kind of like crack. I guess it had some marijuana and stuff like that in it. But it was one of those, I can't remember the name of these things, but it's got like, it's like an octopus on the table with drugs in it. And everybody takes a hit every now and then. He hands it to a guy, and that night, the guy he hands it to dies of a heroin overdose. And he was one of his guys that worked for him. That video is on the internet. And so that's not a very good demonstration of the truth of the gospel. I mean, you could literally, here's a good example. When they expect a frown or an angry word or curse words, you smile because that's how the Lord Jesus would do it. It's kind of like, well, it is like with Peter when he cursed, right? Because the damsel and anybody else that was in the air says, you know, come on, we knew you were with him. Your speech giveth you away, right? And what does she mean by that? Well, he's not cursing like everybody else. He's got a gentle way about him. He's got a gentle tone because he met Christ. He has a way. A no-nonsense, with no guile, kind of like Nathaniel. Tell it like it is, but with love. Because a lot of people out there think, well, I'll be like Nathaniel. I'm going to tell like it is. I'm going to have no guile whatsoever. But they also have no tact. And so they get on people's nerves. It's kind of like the street preacher with the megaphone where the young girl walks up with a miniskirt with a guy with her boyfriend who's got his arm around him, and he yells, hey, you little whore, how long you been dating this whoremonger? Oh, yeah, that's going to get them to bow their hearts to Christ. No, that's going to make them think Christ is hateful and evil. It's just like with the Westboro Baptist Church with those big signs and vulgar terms that they use for the homosexuals. And says God hates them. Yeah, that's going to make Christianity, you know, popular. And that's one of the reasons they do it, by the way. It's just like with Roman Catholicism. You ask any Muslim out there, when you tell them you're a Christian, and this is a hardcore Quran reading, you know, Islamic jihad type Muslim, you say you're a Christian, he thinks you're Catholic. Because that's the definition of Christianity to them. Because there's 1.2 billion Catholics out there saying that, when in fact they're not Catholic at all. Over 86% of their dogma, and it's not doctrine, it's dogma, comes from paganism. I know, I used to teach it. And so, but they lie and they say they're Catholics. But that's just how it's supposed to work. I mean, for example, a Russian spy isn't going to come here and say, hi, everybody, I'm a Russian, and I want to kind of infiltrate your government. No, he's going to say, hi, everybody, I'm an American, I want to infiltrate your government, you know, for Russia. Well, Satan did the same thing. He's going to come up and say, hi, I'm a Christian. And so their duty was proclaimed in prophecy and ordained of Satan to go forward and call the homosexuals names or call, you know, the guy that has a problem with fornication a whoremonger or the girl that has a problem with fornication a whore. Instead of, like remember what Jesus did with Mary Magdalene? He didn't call her any names. I mean, the people that threw her in his presence did. And what did he do? He just knelt down and started writing in the sand. To this day, you could ask any preacher out there, says, what was he writing? None of them know. Hey, come on, put two and two together. Even if without the spirit of prophecy, you could tell. If he's kneeling down and he's writing stuff down, causing these guys to drop the stones after he says, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. Come on, think about it. He had to have been writing their sins in the sand. And reminding them, okay, you know, it's okay, you're an embezzler, you know, you lie left and right, you drink too much. I mean, just putting all this stuff down in the sand, then he stands up and says, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And he goes back down and starts writing more sins down. And all of a sudden, he looks up and it's just him and Mary. He says, there's nobody here to condemn me? And she goes, no. So then I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Kind of like what, you know, we have to tell people after they've been healed of diseases that have come upon them for their evil lifestyles. And so this is something I believe this is going to be a big part of this church family in the coming days too. Because like I said earlier, you can't throw a stone in any time, especially with the chemtrails. It was prophesied they're going to poison the atmosphere. And look at the word sorceries in Scripture. It means pharmakia, which is our modern-day word pharmacy. And Rome, and I did this on the radio years ago and made a web page about it, and they actually talked about it a couple times in some videos about how the Vatican got caught red-handed working with Canada on big pharma, where, in other words, just like the prophecy said, they're the ones that are behind it. And people think, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Really? Well, look at the prophecy, and then look what they just got caught doing in Canada. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist when you get to Hollywood. Oh, yeah, they're behind. Not only are they behind Hollywood, the word universal in Latin is Catholic, Universal Studios. San Francisco, 80% of the real estate is owned by the Vatican. And that's the homosexual capital of the world. But everybody wants to look the other way. Say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Well, just like the brothels down the road from the Vatican where they own, and those are homosexual brothels. Just a coincidence. The prophecy, sure, like it says in Daniel 11:37, they're not going to have a desire for women. But no one wants to put two and two together, and that's one of the reasons they don't read Bibles. And if they do, they're only reading what their pastors tell them to, do the study here, do a study there. And the pastor's certainly not going to mention things from the pulpit, you know, because that would reveal he's lying about, like, say, a secret rapture or a seven-year trib or whatever, stuff like that. Or even hellfire, for that matter. Everybody out there seems to think that when you go to hell, you burn for all eternity, screamed at the top of your lungs. Yeah, does that sound like Christ? Seriously, could you imagine walking down some beautiful path in heaven trillion years from now? Jesus happens to come over to your place this day, and he's going to visit you and hang out with you for a week until you have to go into the, you don't have to, you want to go back to the city, you know, for Sabbath. And you happen to be walking, you see the smoke rising in the distance, you hear all the screaming, and you go, Jesus, what is that? What's all that screaming about? What's all that smoke? He says, well, you know, those loved ones, you know, your brothers and your sisters, your mom or dad or whoever, you know, the ones that didn't make it? I go, yeah. It's the hellfire. They're in there screaming. I kind of enjoy listening to that. That's not Christ. That's Satan. He's the one that enjoys that. The Bible's clear. After they burn up at the end of the second death, which sends fire from above and below, it says in Malachi, we walk on their ashes. Sin begets death. It doesn't beget eternal life and fire. But no one reads Bibles. And Satan will lie so effectively that Satanists actually think they're going to reign in heaven with pitchforks, jabbing all the Christians that used to annoy them throughout life, their lifetime, who happen to make it into hell anyway. It's crazy. Oh, man. So anyway, let's finish this here. It says, much more, let me backtrack a little bit. It says, by an unselfish interest. Okay, yeah. By an unselfish interest in those who need help, they are to give a practical demonstration of the truth of the gospel, much more than mere sermonizing in this work. You know, the evangelization of the world is the work of God. So the evangelization of the world is the work God has given to those who go forth in His name. They are to be co-laborers with Christ, revealing to those ready to perish His tender, pitying love. And that's why I keep praying. We got to keep praying, brothers and sisters, for love, a lot of love. Because the days are coming, they're going to come up to you screaming and yelling with hatred in their eyes, in their hearts, and in their hands. They might have weapons. Are you going to be able to cry out like Stephen did when they were gnashing on him with their teeth and then stoning him to death? Father, forgive them for, don't hold this sin against them. Or like Jesus himself on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I mean, seriously, think about it. If they knew what you know, they would be on your side receiving the stoning with you. Because they're human just like you. Once they realize who their God is, their creator is, they'll fall in love with him just like you have. So give them a shot. Give them a chance. When they come at you with hateful words, smile and send them love. And then finishing, it says, God calls for thousands to work for him. not by preaching to those who know the truth for this time, but by warning those who have never heard the last message of mercy. And this is one of the reasons some of us are going to end up in jail and in courtrooms, because he loves those judges, the magistrates, the clerks, the prosecuting attorneys, the defending attorneys, the people in the jury, the people in the crowd that are just sitting there because they like listening to court cases, right? Some of these people need to hear what you have to say, and don't rehearse it, because it ain't going to work anyway. Because the Lord's going to give you utterance that day. It's going to come out of you like some of us know what I'm talking about there when you start preaching and teaching. I remember one time I was talking to somebody on the phone. Now, I remember this is the first time it ever happened to me, because it's happened since quite a few times. And some of you have related to me that it happens to you as well. And praise his mighty name for this. But what I'm saying is, I was on the phone talking to this husband and wife, because I don't like doing the he said, she said thing. Because, you know, if you want marital counseling, both are going to be on the phone, right? And so anyway, we're talking, and they come back at the end of it all, and they say, well, thank you, we really needed to hear that. Thank you. And I says, yeah, I needed to hear it too. I go, wait a second, man, you're the one that said it. And I says, yeah, but sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks, you don't know where the words are come from. It just comes. It's a blessing unto me too, you know? It just, I really love the way he works like that. It gives me that hug I need from on high. You know, I don't need a hand waving from heaven and says, yeah, doing a good job. You know, we don't know. We know he's there. We don't need any, we got plenty of evidence. I can go outside in a forest, even after it burned to the ground, and find his hand. Like that little bird. Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. Somebody was talking about this a while ago. And I happened to find I saw something on YouTube a couple of weeks ago where, in the California forest fires, they're burning again. I think now they're burning in south side of the southern area of California. And this one firefighter was going in there making sure all the smoldering was gone, and he came across this bird that was standing up dead with its wings out, you know, kind of like making a little tent. And it was a dead bird, so he grabbed the bird and moved it, and her babies were underneath her wing. She knew the fire was coming. She knew it was going to kill her. But she also knew she could protect her babies, and she would die for them, just like Jesus did for you. Remember what it says in the scriptures about letting us be underneath his wing, or wanting us to be underneath his wing? Remember when he wept for Israel? He says, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers its chicks under his wing. I would have think that it would have brought that firefighter to tears. But finishing, it says, work with a heart filled with an earnest longing for souls. Do medical missionary work. Thus, you will gain access to the hearts of people, and the way will be prepared for a more decided proclamation of the truth. Because now, you've got a captive audience, but they're not captive because they got to be there. They're captive because they're on the edge of their seat wanting to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to them. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what we shared this Sabbath day. If you can get on your knees, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with your presence when we gather here tonight. And thank you for answering my prayer in regards to how I was feeling before we all gathered. Thank you so much for that, for your hedge of angels around us at all times, and helping us through these intense trials, with that black cloud. Thank you for the angels wafting it away when it gets a little rough for us. And thank you for that cup and teaching us how it's best to drink it so that we can grow stronger. Please bless us in the coming days. We need more faith, strength, wisdom, discernment, courage, and love. Because just about everybody that's going to be standing around us in the coming days are going to hate us. But we can't let that hate move us. The love has to supersede. We have to be overcomers even there. And so, Father, we need a lot of work, myself included. We need a lot of work there. And so please bless us and forgive us and cleanse us so that we could be ready and worthy for the latter rain. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.